You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts! Alongside Wall Street Matt Modica, the King Scott Angle, and the all-in kid Jake Seeley, I am Greg Sussman. Jakey!
Yeah.
Welcome to the Roto Experts.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for coming in, man.
I was actually going to dress up nicer, but the room didn't have an iron. So.
Oh, you could be my, wrinkled on television.
That's true. My closet had a bed, and that was it.
Hey, all right, it's all right, man. We're happy to have you. You were in studio yesterday,
yes,
which is awesome. Now you're back. We are putting you through the ringer today, I think, right?
It's like 17 shows.
Right. So I remember when EY was here, it was Eric Young takeover. He was on every show. You are now working every show up until on. Are you still working on Target today?
Yeah.
And then you have your play after that.
And then I'll leave after that.
Wow, that's crazy. Every show live from Studio 34.
I didn't say Best Friends. I didn't say I was going to be on that.
I heard a rumor you are.
You should do a show
from
the plane.
I'm getting lunch. I have to eat at some point.
Can you, you have 12 to 2 to eat, my friend.
Can you Skype from the plane, maybe, and get on something else, too? Yeah.
No.
I'm sure Robert Littell would love to have him.
I'm sure.
I thought 12 to 2 was other videos. That's why I thought.
Oh, you're going to get 12 to 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Jake, more importantly, no offense, and you being here is the status, of course, of Aaron Rodgers, right? A-Rodge breaks his collarbone yesterday. Right. Last time he broke his collarbone, he missed 7 weeks. Earlier reports were that he was done for the year, of course. I'm sure there's an MRI today. You'll get more information today. We'll find out what happened. But if you own any of these Packers, you own Aaron Rodgers. What do you do?
Well, if you own Aaron Rodgers, you read Scott's article in Sports Grid.
Ding!
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
You see how I did that over there?
Yeah, eight plays you can trade for. Eight plays you can trade for if you lost Aaron Rodgers.
If you had the wide receivers, which I've already been asked on Twitter, is like, should I sell off on Devontae?
Yeah.
You can't. Everybody's going to have the same opinion. Everybody's going to say, oh, I don't want him now. So he's like, what do I do with Jordy? You hold on to him and hope for the best. Now, hopefully the next game, maybe Jordy or Adams or even any of them, if they have a huge game, then you trade them, you send them off, and you're like, oh, look, it's not going to be as bad as we thought. But right now, you just have to hold the course and understand they're not going to have as good as numbers as they would before.
Yeah, you know, it's frustrating that you invest so much in this Packers offense, and for good reason, obviously. And now it all just crumbles right down with the loss of Aaron Rodgers. Yesterday, Matt, Devontae Adams got free. He scored a touchdown. And we all said it right earlier on in the show where, give it a full week of practice, and you know Brett Hundley never works with Devontae Adams or Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb. It doesn't ever happen. Give it a full week of practice. Maybe he'll find a connection with someone.
I'm going to hold that a little hope for Brett Hundley. Like I said, I followed this kid's career in college. I'm a UCLA Bruins fan. Look, obviously, everybody's taking a hit. But you know, maybe you buy low on one of these guys. Maybe somebody's panicking and you can get him at a discount. You know, because wide receivers, you know, like I said, Odell's done. Diggs might be out multiple weeks. You know, there's injuries going on there too.
Hey, Scotty, you wrote the article on Sports Grid, is how 8 ways to replace Aaron Rodgers. And I know on that list is Deshaun Watson. You peddled this last week too, what you could trade Deshaun Watson for. Whoever owns Deshaun Watson wants to keep him, no doubt, but he probably has another quarterback that could be available as well.
Right, because like last week I had Drew Brees and I had Russell Wilson in another league. So that's the team you target because most people didn't draft Deshaun Watson. They probably have two quality quarterbacks.
When we come back, we'll talk about Deshaun Watson Sunday. He's another game of 3 touchdowns. That's for him. It's the Roto Experts. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And guys, Deshaun Watson just continues to dominate the NFL. Yesterday was predictable. I get it. Facing the Cleveland Browns, who, after thinking about it, was the no-doubter for me in Survivor if I was still in it, which I'm not.
How bad did that?
I bought back in for the Falcons.
You bought back in? You didn't tell me you bought back
no,
in.
No, not that one. That one's that one's next week.
Right.
No, I bought into the other one that I played for, which is less this time. It's only 25 at the halfway point. It's 100 at the beginning. I bought back in for the Falcons, so...
Nice!
Right back out again.
Good for you. My buddy bought the Ravens yesterday. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of letting people buy back Shane, or it should be like twice as much if you're going to be able to buy back.
No, it's a different pool the second time around than the one
that
I'm
in. Oh, okay. If it's different, then I understand that. But yeah, it looked like a fantastic Survivor week, and I got knocked out with Pittsburgh the week prior.
Same.
Versus Jacksonville, and I was like, damn. But, you know, what, the underdogs were 11-2 versus the spread?
Yeah, it was crazy yesterday. I mean, the Giants won, which I know was a major pick. The Ravens lost to the Bears, and the Redskins would have lost yesterday. That would have been crazy. Remember, we were playing on Fantasy Factor. But if you're new to Daily Fantasy Sports, you can still go to Fantasy Factor because it is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. It's flatter prize pool, smaller fields, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor is running a $500 NFL free roll this week. It's free to enter. Sign up and enter because you can win $500. What? Yes. $500 for nothing. FantasyFactor.com. Sign up right now. Deshaun Watson yesterday, guys. 3 touchdown passes on the day, including one to Will Fuller, one to DeAndre Hopkins. Both these guys caught 2 passes total. Both these guys scored touchdowns. If nothing else, we know who he's going to target, and it's quite nice.
Well, Will Fuller has that great home run to fly ball ratio.
I love that tweet.
eight catches, 5 touchdowns. So the thing I love about Watson, and I said why he could be a top 5, and I was pretty confident in that. And look, he might not finish there. I kind of got ridiculed by one of the other hosts on the station who remain nameless. But he will throw the contested ball. And he's got guys like DeAndre Hopkins, who as long as you can get him the ball, there's an opportunity for him. And, his targets throughout the year have been outrageous. And yesterday, he actually only had less than a handful. But once again, got the touchdown. I think finished... But with under double-digit points for the first time.
Scotty, Will Fuller, DeAndre Hopkins. I get it. DeAndre Hopkins has looked phenomenal all year long. But is Will Fuller, given that the home run to fly ball ratio is so crazy, and given that he only caught 2 passes again yesterday, is he someone you can consistently start?
I think as a wide receiver 3, you have to. Because even if he's not going to score the touchdowns, I feel like Deshaun Watson is looking at him as a big play guy. Somebody he's going to throw to downfield. And it's interesting. They got the bye week coming up, and then they're playing against Seattle. And, you have to wonder, will he end up on Sherman's side? And, they'll try to put Hopkins the other way. I don't know how dependable he's going to be. It's almost like you look at him and Nelson Aguilar in the same sort of lens. Sort of big play guys who have been consistent, but I don't know if you're going to necessarily expect the inconsistency. But then again, not every receiver blows up every week, even when they're the best. So I think you just got to ride it as long as you can.
Yeah, I think so too, Jake. Do you have any trust in Will Fuller?
No. Okay. I don't. With the joke that Matt made about the home run fly ball rate, that's the honest part here is the fact that you have to look at that. There's a lot of factors here. One, I'll admit, I was wrong to Deshaun Watson, 100%. I thought he was going to go down the Jameis Winston path. It was the inconsistencies, the poor decision-making, the interceptions, and he's made a quick turn on that. He's playing better than Jameis Winston, so definitely wrong on that one. Will Fuller, still not. You can't carry that kind of touchdown-to-catch ratio, so I'm selling high. But I'm not going to just sell high just to get rid of him.
Sure.
If somebody's going to give me top 25 wide receiver value, which I know people are because I've seen the questions on Twitter.
Absolutely.
He's off my team just because of that. Because if you only get the 2 catches and it's not a touchdown, the 30 point or the 30 receiving yards for 3 points is going to be pretty awful to see in your lineup.
100%. But I'm with you. You said it right, Jake. I'm not just selling him to sell him.
Right. Right.
I'd rather have Will Fuller than Nelson Aguilar.
Okay.
But the guy who's real, if you want to see somebody that is real, it's Devin Funchess. When he gets 10, 9, 8 targets every week, even though he only caught 3 this past week for 36 yards, the process was right, the execution
right.
Was
if we would have said, hey, Cam's going to throw it this many times, Funchess is going to get 9 targets, this is going to be the score, you would have been like, oh, Funchess is going to have a top 20-15 game.
Yeah, all you want is the opportunity. When you get the targets, you get the opportunity.
Matt, would you rather have Will Fuller or Sammy Watkins?
Look, I think Sammy's a stash still for that second half. But I'm actually, I would, if I'm not buying high on Will Fuller.
This parachute's a knapsack.
He doesn't want to say it.
I went out and scooped him up prior to him coming back. So I do think it's real in a sense that Watson is going to look for him and at least give him the opportunity. And the one thing we knew coming into this year is he has the ability to beat defenses. Last year, one of the major problems was holding on to the ball. So, I mean, I'm probably still going to say Sammy's going to outproduce him in the second half. I just think that if Goff can progress and that game script goes that way, then yes.
I'm going to take Fuller. He's producing. He's getting the ball downfield. His quarterback is playing better. That offense is more prolific, I think. I'm going to go Will Fuller. We can debate about whether to, roster Sammy Watkins or not. Well, the one thing, Sammy has at least stayed healthy.
Yeah!
Taking shots, Scotty.
Speaking of Scotty taking shots, Isaiah Crowell had his best game of the season yesterday.
How about that?
12 carries for 58 yards.
That's where Corey is. He's out celebrating.
And caught two passes for 15. I'll take the loss for Crowell.
Yeah, but Crowell never gets in the end zone to celebrate.
Well, that's because Cleveland again. Yeah. Can somebody explain to me why Cody Kessler doesn't start for this team? Like, he looked fine last year.
I'm as lost as you are. I don't understand the Kevin Hogan decision. And you saw it yesterday. Weird. Three interceptions. What do they want? His rushing ability? That's the only thing I can think of.
I'm not a Kessler fan, but he could look as bad as Hogan.
Speaking of the Browns, Duke Johnson, 5 carries for 40 yards, but he only caught 3 passes, and he lost yardage on that. A lot of these PPR running backs, and we're going to get to the good one in just a second, a lot of these PPR running backs let you down yesterday.
Yeah, well, what do you think? Like, the Texans watch film, right? And they say, well, the one guy they're going to throw the ball to is Duke Johnson. Let's shut him down, and we're going to worry about anything, Matt.
I'm surprised they didn't use him more as a receiver yesterday. He seems to be maybe their best receiver. But the thing the last couple of weeks he's kind of been tied to is that touchdown production, which didn't happen yesterday.
I mentioned that Andre Ellington was a major letdown yesterday, obviously. Jake's eyes just lit up.
I'm so happy about that. Matt knows. All last week, I was like, don't trust Ellington, don't trust Ellington, don't trust Ellington. And everybody was telling me I was crazy.
Jake's been on the anti-Ellington.
Ellington was a disaster. Duke Johnson was a disaster. Chris Thompson was not. Chris Thompson and the Washington Redskins defeated San Francisco 26-24. And yes, the Niners are 0-6, but like every game is 2 points, 3 points, 2 points, 3 points. And yet they just keep finding ways to lose.
Well, that's what losing teams do.
What was crazy about that game is Chris Thompson gave you the game you were expecting with that defense. They released Bowman, deactivated Foster for the game. But the crazy part was Samaje Perine catches the touchdown.
Crazy.
Out of everything, you'd think it's Chris Thompson, no doubt. I mean, at least Josh Doxon got a touchdown.
Well, those two, they pretty much even share, and they also threw another time to Perine, within the red zone. But right now, out of all the pass catching backs, the biggest play threat right now is Chris Thompson. There is nobody in the league right now who can take a flat or a screen pass and scare the heck out of a defense like that guy. Once he gets past the first level of defenders, he is gone. He is absolutely electric and explosive. And you know what? He ran well on some inside runs before. Let me tell you something. We don't see Rob Kelly again for a while. Chris Thompson is going to be a must start every week in PPR.
Sell him.
Yeah, but Scotty, he's not a bell cow.
Have to be.
That's a great script. I like Chris Thompson. I'm not saying I wouldn't want to start him, have him on my roster. But you're saying, like, Rob Kelly's supposed to be back this week. But
maybe.
You need another back to be there for him. You do.
But what I'm saying is, though, if Kelly doesn't come back, this guy's going to get more touches because they don't want to throw Perine out there a lot. But this guy, he doesn't need to have I'm not saying he's a bell cow. He's not a guy who's going to carry 20, 25 a game. But this guy can score from anywhere on the field. Anytime he touches the ball, he's like one of the most explosive players in the league. And of all the PPR running backs we talk about, I don't know if there's anybody more explosive. And if Kelly's going to continue to sit out, he's going to get more opportunities to touch the ball, and that's going to make him even more dangerous.
Jake, you know what we just witnessed?
What?
We witnessed today's Monday moment.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
I'll have a sneak preview.
Today's Monday moment.
Chris Thompson is what Jake thought CJ ProSize was going to be, but CJ ProSize can't stay on the field.
Welcome to the studio, Jake.
I'm still selling him. We've already seen Chris Thompson have his down games. Andre Ellington is the.
Well, that's what I want to get to. I do want to give this out.
What are you
right?
selling him for, though? That's my question.
Totally fair. Right. But it was just.
I'll trade for him.
Scott, I mean, you were up here about him right now.
Yeah.
The last time Chris Thompson played, I want to give you his line.
Please do.
6 rushes, 23 yards, 1 catch, 4 yards. That's like. I can't just throw him in there and be like, this guy's the best player I've ever seen.
I didn't say he was the best player I've ever seen.
You said he's the one player that can catch a screen pass and scare the crap out of
the
defense.
He is the most dangerous pass receiving back in the NFL. And let me tell you, I'm not saying as an RB2. Right, I believe he's more dangerous than Coleman right now. The guy, when he turns on the Jets, nobody can do it like he can. I would love to have him as a flex right now.
I'd love to have him as a bold. Yes, sure. I'd love to have him as my RB4. It sounds great.
RB3. I did say 4. Get it right.
We'll talk more when we come back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
All right, so Chris Thompson, Scott, he's a Hall of Famer?
Not a Hall of Famer, but he's had one down game, which you pointed to last week.
2 weeks ago. He had a bye last week. 2 weeks ago.
I'm saying, out of all the games he's played, he had one down game.
Look, he's been really good. You like I said, you want to have him. Like, if you have, like, a Le'Veon Bell. Last season, I had David Johnson and Theo Riddick. And I had my receivers, and that was a winning formula. I had the most points in my NFFC primetime league. You can get by with that. You need to have somebody of that stature. But as a running back two on bye weeks or flex option every week, it's in a PPR format, you could do worse.
Jake, this receiving crew, Terrell Pryor, Jamison Crowder, once again, major letdowns. 3 for 23 for Pryor, 3 for 15 for Crowder. Pryor was targeted a couple times in the end zone. I think Crowder was targeted once, maybe, in the end zone. Nothing.
No.
What do we do about these guys?
I think it's the point where you can finally drop Crowder. This was a game where they came in and they said, we want to get him more involved. The first thing they did was the sweep run.
Yep.
And they got him more involved, and then it was a good matchup, gone from there on out. Terrell Pryor, I'm still not dropping. The biggest problem with him, and this is the same thing with Crowder, and why I was assuming it was health, is if you look at Kirk Cousins' offense, it's a timing, it's a precision route-based offense that he's looking for people to be open at the spot they're supposed to be open. Mm-hmm. Crowder not being healthy, he wasn't separating, which was assuming was part of the problem. Terrell Pryor's not separating because he's not that skilled yet in that area. He's a great talent, but that's something he's been working on. Terrell Pryor can overcome that. Something's not right with Jamison Crowder, whether he's still masking part of the injury. He's just not clicking the way that he was with Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins is looking for him, but he's just not open. So I'm moving on from Crowder. Terrell Pryor I'm holding on to. But the biggest one is this door keeps opening and opening and opening. Josh Doctson could be the number one wide receiver on this team before the end of the season.
And it's interesting to look at because he's playing with Cousins. Last year he played with, like, there were 7 quarterbacks last year in Cleveland, and he was one of them. And you look up the numbers he put up. It's almost baffling. And now you put
last year in Cleveland, all he had to do was just run downfield. They weren't asking him to run these precision timing routes in the offense of the same thing. So it was just go out there, do whatever the hell you can do athletically.
Freelance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's now you put him in this box, too. It's like with Sammy Watkins, Jamison Crowder, you know, Martavis Bryant, you know, like, you're benching him, and then some people are going to cut him. Maybe you don't cut him yet, but you can't put him in your starting lineup right now.
2 quick points. A couple weeks back, I bought Jamison, Josh Doctson everywhere. Even in a league where I cut him, I went back out, and I paid up for him just to get him back in my roster because I am a Terrell Pryor truther. So I wanted the insurance. It's like, you know, having home insurance. I want to, if it's not going to be Pryor and Docs and Pops, I want to have one of these two. I think eventually one of these two guys have to do it. And what we're talking about with like Sammy Watkins, Terrell Pryor, and guys, just remember, there's still, we're at the halfway point. The second half of the season is coming. Just a fantasy baseball analogy from a year ago. Everybody cut Brian Dozier. Everybody cut Justin Turner. Those guys went on to be monsters after that. So at some point, things can change. I'm not saying that's guaranteed to happen, but I'm going to take talent a lot of the times, and if I can stash it on my bench, I'm going to do that.
I like the Modica home insurance kind of angle. Modica home insurance. We have you in the red zone.
State Farm. Yeah. I could be Clay Matthews.
There you go.
Let's go to the other side of this game, Jake, with San Francisco, right? So we had heard all week, Kyle Shanahan did that BS coaching thing where he talks up his backup running back. He says, there's no difference between these two guys. They're basically the same to me. And says, Carlos Hyde's going to get the first touch on the first series. Then Matt Breida will come back in the second series. And then, by the end of the game, Matt Breida barely played and Carlos Hyde dominated.
Yep, that's pretty much what we should expect at this point, because it's everything we expect goes completely out the window. Sure. Look, I still own Breida in every 12-team league that's out there, as in, if you're in that league, he needs to be on a roster somewhere. Ideally, the Carlos Hyde owner, 9 injuries in 3 years. I don't know how many times we have to say it. I go back to the preseason. As soon as they put Joe Williams in the IR and cut Hightower, I said, go pick up Breida everywhere. It doesn't matter, because he's the next man up behind one of the most injury-prone running backs in the league. I still believe him that he does believe the talent is pretty similar, but obviously I don't think the usage is going to be guaranteed every single week, and that's what we saw last week. So maybe it's more coach speak for trying to drum up a trade, which I don't think is going to happen anyway. But even if a trade doesn't happen, Carlos Hyde could go down next week.
I started Breida over Latt Murray yesterday. You know, it's like, I didn't believe.
Didn't hurt you that much.
I didn't, no, it didn't. He actually outscored Latt Murray because, you know, Murray looks terrible. But you make a great point. It's like Breida's the must-have handcuff. Like, we didn't see any yardage from Hyde yesterday, but, you know, thankfully you got the 2 touchdowns.
So hold on. So we did see yardage in the passing game. He got 5 for 47. So
I was talking rushing.
That's the point I want to make here. Look, last season, Carlos Hyde was targeted 33 times, caught 27 passes. Already he's got 29 targets, 23 catches. The thing is, he's got to get more rushing attempts. They are not the same player. That's just total BS.
Correct.
And look, I think it's more of a riff. There's just they don't get along kind of thing. But Carlos Hyde is a superior talent. Carlos Hyde, except for week 5 at Indy. I mean, I remember Thursday night. We came in Friday. We were all talking. At least me and Corey said it. Carlos Hyde looked at like a better runner than Todd Gurley. Carlos Hyde is talented. As Jake mentioned, there's always that health risk. So you definitely want to own Breida. And if Kyle Shanahan's going to outsmart himself again, like he did in the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter, and go with a Matt Breida over Carlos Hyde, you know, I think that's foolish, but I think Hyde needs to get more.
Let me say this, though, and I have to ask you guys the questions, and Scott, I'll throw it to you. This team is 0-6. Carlos Hyde is a free agent, and when you're 0-6, you are a lot more away. I don't know that they re-sign Carlos Hyde, because I don't know that they invest money in an injury-prone running back. No matter how good he looks, I think we all agree he looks pretty good, especially if the talent between Matt Breida and Carlos Hyde is the same. They're not going to re-sign Carlos Hyde. So I look at this one of two ways. Either one, they're going to run him into the ground because they don't care, because they're not re-signing him. Or two, at 0-6, they're going to look at what they have. They bench Brian Hoyer for C.J. Beathard because they want to see what they have at quarterback. Might they do the same with Hyde to see what they have at running back with Matt Breida?
It's possible, you know, maybe it becomes a timeshare, but, you know, Hyde's playing well. It's certainly not the problem, and if you want to, you know, they're in the business to win football games, and I think Hyde, you know, gives them the best chance of winning football games. Look, Mike Cardano, like the comparisons like you like to make, Matt, I'll make one of your comparisons, likes to put out the best people out here he feels on the show. Now, look, if he doesn't get along with Matt Modica, you know,
we're both Italian, Scott.
If he doesn't get along, well, I'm not so sure with Mike. You know, he's not the classic Italian, but, you know, I digress. But, you know, like, if he's not getting along with Modica, you know, it's silly not to throw Modica out here every week, you know, just because he's not getting along with him. You know, he's not going to say, okay, you know, I'm going to put another analyst like Joe Pisapia on there because he's not as good as analyst, Matt Modica.
Okay, but that's extremely, extremely different because Modiga's not a free agent after this year. Modiga's an injury
prone.
Yeah,
but wait, hold on a second.
Those things exist.
Kyle Shanahan wants to win games, right? He's 0-6 at the moment.
That's what it's about, yeah.
Look at Hugh Jackson. This guy went to Kevin Hogan because he's like, I got to win a game.
Yeah.
I got to win a game. So,
but that's a little bit different, again, because I
think... And that's why I go to the Miami situation, too. I don't care how much you pay Jay Cutler. You got to win.
These things are different because...
I don't think he cares.
Hugh Jackson, number one, Hugh Jackson's job is on the line now.
Right?
His job is on the line. Kyle Shanahan's isn't.
It isn't right now, but if Kyle Shanahan goes 0-16...
It's still not.
It's not on the... Yes, I know. They're going to go get Kirk Cousins next year, and he has another year. But then... Following year, if he pulls like what Hugh Jackson's pulling this year,
that
is job.
I still don't think it is. I still don't think it is. I think that when you look at that deal that they gave on both with Lynch and him, and the fact that we're talking about 5 years here, I think they know it's at least a 3-year plan. I think he could go 0-32, and he's still going to be with this team.
He will.
I hear you that he has some job security, but you go 0-32.
I think they're looking long term and talent wise, and realize how devoid of talent they are in so many positions that I think it's just it's going to take a lot.
I think Hugh Jackson is a good coach, and one of my friends on Twitter, Ryan Ruff, tweeted out yesterday, he's a Browns fan, the horrific decisions they have made the past couple of seasons, the talent that they have passed up, guys they've missed on when they've had the opportunity. So that's not on Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson had nobody last year. He has nobody this year. I mean, he had to go to Kevin Hogan. You had to take Kaiser out for his own good.
Well, he could have gone to Kessler.
Well, I wanted Kessler to start the season.
Yeah. So. Sticking with San Francisco here for a moment, George Kittle at 4 for 46. He was targeted 8 times. I remember
he had a big drop, too.
He did. Yeah. No question about it on the left side. We talked about this last week. Is George Kittle a thing? I was like, maybe if you need a tight end, blah, blah, blah. I'm looking at this, Jake, and C.J. Beathard threw the ball 36 times, and I felt like, outside of Pierre Garçon, George Kittle was the guy. And we know the state of tight end. We talk about it every week. I like George Kittle going forward.
Well, here's the appealing part about it. He's basically their second best receiver.
Correct.
And consistency-wise, like Goodwin, all right, you got the big playability, all that. If you look at the talent from top to bottom, he's still the second best option. And what is a young or inexperienced quarterback's best friend?
Tight end.
Tight end, especially when you have somebody that they probably practiced a lot together during the preseason, both being rookies. So I think George Kittle is a nice pickup on a fringe tight end one level.
I think he's like a tight end, too. He's like, you know, when your main guy is off, like this past week, when like you know guys like Jimmy Graham, you know, and Jason Witten were off,
you're dropping Ebron for him, aren't you?
Well,
I am.
I'm not rostering Eric Ebron.
But
I'm gonna be buying a couple lunches.
I'm Darren Fells.
I'm rostering Martellus Bennett. I'm gonna cut Bennett this week.
I would definitely do that.
I would definitely
be
in the George Kittle business. But one thing we have to learn too is C.J. Beathard is not good. He's not a good quarterback. He wasn't a good quarterback in college. He's not a good quarterback.
We're talking about Sammy Watkins, though. There are some tight ends that are just dead to me now. Eric Ebron and Martellus Bennett. Go hang out with Jared Cook.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Talk about tight ends. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the most controversial play of the day yesterday that involved a tight end, where our team got screwed. Scott's pumped about it. He's laughing, see? He's pumped about it, but they got screwed. That's not fair. Let's talk about that when we come back here on the Roto Experts. Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. Scott's sitting here hysterically laughing over the Jets and their unfortunate circumstances this year. Unfortunate circumstances on Sunday in particular, where they scored a touchdown that was a touchdown and somehow was reversed by incompetent officiating from New York. When both of this man's predecessors go on TV and be like, that's a touchdown, or at least that call on the field stands. And Al Riveron comes out and is just like, nah, sorry, it's a fumble.
According to the rule.
I never even saw him drop the ball.
He didn't drop. That wasn't the issue. Look, okay. Common sense needs to win out here.
Yes.
So let me put that to a side. In fact, it's a touchdown in my mind.
Fine.
Before I start going down this road.
Okay.
According to the rule, it was because he lost control as he went out of bounds. So while he was falling out of bounds, the ball wasn't in control. If the ball's not in control when you're going out of bounds, it's basically like you fumbled it out of the back of the end zone. So he fumbling out of the side of the end zone, which is what it was. He fumbled it out of the side of the end zone, didn't regain control until he hit the ground. So by rule, it's a touchback. I understand the letter of the law and the rule and all this type of stuff, but it's like the same people that got really mad during the baseball playoffs where the foot came off first base by like a fraction of an inch, and they're like, come on, are we really going down this path three play?
Yep.
So common sense wins out. He had the ball the entire time, never even came out of his hands. I understand touchdown, but according to the letter of the law, I understand why they made the rule they did.
I personally can't stand this catch rule. I hated it. I've always hated it. I mean, Dez Bryant got robbed that year.
Yes, he did.
We've seen it time and time again. To me, it's just idiotic. Jake's right, the letter of the law and stuff. But if the law ain't good, scrap it. So that's where I stand on it.
Scott?
These guys pretty much said it all. There's nothing I can really add to that.
Do you want to apologize to the Jets for laughing at them?
No.
It's not very nice. Wow, it would have been really funny. It would have been a really bad day for you, Scotty, if the Jets would have won and the Dolphins would have won. That would have been a bad day.
How?
You hate those teams.
I don't hate the Jets. I thought it was amusing that like it happens to that fan base because they're so snake bitten.
So see, you find it amusing.
You know, if the Dolphins win, whatever. You know, it's like,
oh, you hate the Dolphins.
I do. I don't hate the Miami. I hate the Dolphin fans in South Florida.
He hates other animals that hang out by the water.
Yes.
Just aren't Seahawks.
I hate Dolphin fans most Dolphin fans from South Florida.
Scott hates the greater Miami area.
ASJ had finished with 8 for 46 in a touchdown. It should have been 9 and more for 2. Like we said, he got screwed. But the big story out of this game, other than ASJ for the Jets, was Matt Forte. He caught 8 passes yesterday for 59 yards. Elijah McGuire had a goal line carry, did not convert. Matt Forte then came in. Both McGuire and Forte finished each with 22 yards apiece. But it was Forte dominating in the passing game. Elijah McGuire was a nothing yesterday, Scott.
Yeah, it was disappointing because he thought he was going to get the opportunity and Forte was just going to be an afterthought. And that just, it wasn't the case. So what do you make of this Jets backfield even when Bilal Powell comes back? I don't know. It's week to week. You just don't know.
Jake, is Elijah McGuire droppable?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he is, obviously. Especially if Bilal Powell's back this week, 100%.
Okay.
If Bilal Powell's maybe another week away, maybe hold on for one more week. But Matt knows this. We discussed it the entire week on Fantasy Frenzy, and I said all week, it's like this team is a knucklehead. Matt Forte is going to get the first touches and a lot of the second touches. He's going to get the high workload out of the backfield if he's healthy.
I mean, even if Matt Forte didn't start last week, I was trying to unload Elijah McGuire. He was a mirage, in my opinion. He had that one run against Jacksonville where, like, the sea just parted open. He did not even get touched, 69 yards. And going, if you looked at just the stats and you didn't do a deep dive, he had a 5.2 yards per carry. You take that one run out, which I know we don't want to like to do that, but it's 3.2 after that. So he wasn't really doing anything.
What you're saying essentially is when I'm not even the take one run out, like he had one good play all year, you know, and everybody was buying into it. The New York Daily News, there was a big feature story about how this is his chance for an unsung guy to step forward.
Robbie Anderson, Jermaine Kearse had very similar lines themselves, 4 for 70s. But the difference is Robbie Anderson had 12 targets on the day from Josh McCown. On the other side of things, Mike Gillisley fumbles. Deion Lewis then comes in. He gets the touchdown, 11 carries, 52 yards. Gillisley did return to the game in the second half. But Deion Lewis, Matt, I know you've been waiting on Rex Burkhead to become a thing in New England, but Deion Lewis, with Rex Burkhead's injury, he's quietly stepped up.
Yeah, Mike Gillisley is pretty much giving this role away. And look, Deion Lewis has looked pretty good, you know, in the backfield, running with the ball. Just real quick, the guy in the Jets who made a couple of really nice catches yesterday was Jeremy Curley.
Yeah.
He had a touchdown, and the other one that he caught was inside the one.
Oh, that was spectacular.
That was a hell of a catch.
And that'll be the last time you see Jeremy Curley.
But yeah, no, okay. James White is really the back to own. Look, if you have a bench spot for Deion Lewis and you want to put him there, the guy in the leagues where, like, I play where we have 10 bench spots, Rex Burkhead is the guy that I'm stashing for that second half.
And you've been very, very...
Look, he's a guy that on the field they like. They targeted him in the end zone week 1. He got a passing touchdown week 2. They've thrown wheel routes to him. He can do multiple things. He can do short yardage. He can catch passes.
Unless we he can murder about the other three running backs, I want nothing to do with the Patriots.
Yeah, well, we could say what you just said was true.
About the second
half. But I could also like take out Rex Burkhead and insert Deion Lewis in there.
That's very true.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I don't know if it was clear enough how big I was smiling, Greg, for that entire thing. I say it every single year. We go down this road. Last year was a little bit different with LeGarrette Blount. Nobody expected that and came around on it. But at the beginning of this year, I said it's not LeGarrette Blount's situation. We have four legitimate options in this backfield. And it's Bill Belichick. I don't understand why people see one season and say, oh, let's forget about the 10 years before that. It's just this is exactly what everybody should have expected going through this year.
I mean, I don't know. I'm happy to own James White.
It
was a mediocre day yesterday.
He put up 8.5 points. Where are you drafting James White this year? The ninth round.
We already went down that road, but that's my point. It's like, at best, you have one option as a flex in PPR. But the fact is, again, real quick, again, when I tweeted it out 2 weeks ago, joking about the snap count from somebody from Pro Football Focus tweeted it, it was about the payment people paid for Gillislee. It was the payment people put down on Burkhead. And that was the bigger factor.
Yeah, well, I mean, Burkhead, for the most part, until Gillislee got hurt in the preseason, Burkhead was like a 13th round pick. You didn't really have to pay for him. People did start paying up. You're right about that. Gillislee was high. I own 2 shares of Gillislee. It's both in draft champions. I don't own them in any standard, you know, like regular leagues where you have to.
That's because when one guy leaves the role, people will assume that somebody else is going to step into the role and do maybe nearly the same thing. And I go way back in football history when Chris Henry was still alive for the Cincinnati Bengals and was that great number three receiver. Yeah. And then he fell off and you had guys like Antonio Chapman and people like drafting just because they stepped into the same role. Just because a guy steps into the same role doesn't mean he's going to produce like the predecessor. Mike Gillislee is not LeGarrette Blount. Now, I agree with you on James White because James White, he is clearly their top receiving back. But with the other guys, now, with Deion Lewis, the way that he's playing, it's even more murky for Burkhead when he comes back.
But let me give you a for instance. Look at Jay Ajayi's game log. Jay Ajayi had 130 yards rushing yesterday. No touchdowns. He had 13 points. James White had 8.5 points. Jay Ajayi, you were paying an end of the first round, late second round. James White, except for that one game against Houston, has pretty much almost gotten you at least double digits. I mean, or more. I mean,
but the biggest problem is I don't think it's going to continue when Burkhead's back.
Let me ask you a question. What's your point? I'm agreeing with you.
I'm James White. I'm putting out the point where
I want to own one guy, it's White.
No, but I agree with you. The point where, like, even a Jay Ajayi guy who has 130 yards on the day only put up 13 points in a PPR.
Yeah.
So that's why these pass catching backs look. The numbers might not look that great. You're playing PPR. You're playing in a certain format. That's where you have
I'm selling him high before Burkhead comes back.
I don't. You could do that.
I think White's going to retain that role.
Yeah, I think
the rest of it is murky.
We can think all you want until Bill Belichick screws us all in weeks 9 and 10.
He hasn't done it with James White, though.
Hey, Deion Lewis is finally coming on. Deion Lewis is their most talented running back. Always has been.
Well, I think that makes me worry about Burkhead, but I think White's role is clear.
I don't know. I think James White is, at this point in their career, is just as talented as Deion Lewis.
I think James White is probably their most trusted back in that field. I think that's the guy.
Not as a runner, as a receiver.
Yeah. No,
he's going to continue to be that guy.
Rob Gronkowski yesterday, 6 for 83, 2 touchdowns on 10 targets. Guys, he's been healthy and he's been scoring.
Well, he did miss a game.
Yeah.
Healthy-ish.
He doesn't. That's healthy for him. He missed one game. I'm pumped.
Here's the only thing I will say.
Because we've only played 6.
Corey and I both said the same thing watching the game. He doesn't look like he's 100% of what he's ever been. Correct. He looks like it's like 90% of Gronk that's left over.
Agreed.
And at any point, forget the injuries that could come any given week. I'm just worried that the body's so beat up that he's not the tight end one every single week, if healthy. So that's another one. It's so high, and because of the landscape of tight end, obviously, if you could get back at Evan Ingram and running back help or wide receiver help because you're hurting. Because if you took Gronkowski early, you're hurting somewhere, I'm assuming, at this point, very likely, given what's going on this year.
The Patriots wide receiver I want to buy, is Brandon Cooks. I mean, once again, this guy has gone out.
I'll finish my point later.
I'm sorry. I thought you were okay. But Brandon Cooks is the guy that I want to buy. Once again, he went out at the 1 yard line. And I mean, he's a guy, as this season goes along, I mean, if Kevin Hogan's going to be out, then you really got to like him.
Chris Hogan.
I mean, Chris Hogan.
One catch for 19 yards. He was banged up yesterday, Chris Hogan. Danny Amendola, 3 for 40.
Yeah, I agree on the Cooks. It was a very encouraging performance because everybody's expecting the big boom games from Cooks, and they'll come. But this was encouraging because it wasn't a big boom game, and he caught a lot of important passes.
Hey, just a quick word here on Leonard Fournette. Adam Schefter tweeted out just a few moments ago. Despite the foot injury, he expects to play this week against the Colts. So good news there when it comes to Leonard Fournette.
Foot through college. Yeah,
of course he's going to say NFL. That he expects to play, but
Schefter said that, not Leonard Fournette. Schefter said that they expect Leonard Fournette to play.
Okay.
So it's not one of those players talking themselves up. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll quickly hit on the Giants and the Broncos. We'll find out what's coming up next on La Frenzy with a special guest host. And we'll wrap up the Roto Experts here, sponsored now by DX Racer. We'll do that as we wrap up the program. Coming up next.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
The Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, sponsored by DX Racer. And head on over to rotoexperts.com/DKMS to learn more about becoming a bone marrow donor and learn more about donating to stop blood cancer. I'm not asking for a single dime. We're just asking for you to find out more information about becoming a bone marrow donor or a blood donor and seeing how to save lives. And I don't mean that in using any hyperbole whatsoever. I mean it truthfully. You can save lives. We've talked to many people who have done it. To find out if you can be a match, all you got to do is swab your cheeks, send it in to the guys at DKMS. They will do the rest, and then you literally can save somebody's life. It's very, very, very cool. So please check out more information at rotoexperts.com/DKMS. You can scroll to the bottom of the page. You can also participate in a daily fantasy contest in order to win a trip to the Super Bowl. And by doing so, you just have to win one of the weeks 1 through 16. You qualify for week 17. And then, if you win that, you go to the Super Bowl, Scott.
Yeah, you do. Get ready in Philly, right? Yeah. That's what they're talking about.
Of course they are.
It's only 6 weeks.
late Sunday night, the Giants defeated the Broncos 23-10, just like everybody expected. Orleans Darkwa had 117 yards rushing against the number one team against the rush in 2017. Wayne Gallman rushed 9 times for 27 yards. The team was led in receiving by Evan Engram, who had 5 catches for 82 yards. Only one other Giants receiver had more than one catch on the evening, and that was Wayne Gallman with 2.
Yeah, you know, defense played a big role for the Giants last night. And, you know, Dark was the guy when he's been getting the ball, when he's healthy, he's run well. It was a very surprising performance, but I thought the Giants matched up well with them pretty well. You know, Trevor Siemian did not play well at all.
No, Trevor Siemian did not play well at all. Threw that pick six at the end of the first half, got hurt. Osweiler came in for a moment. Siemian came back in the second half, but there was a fear that I read that this morning. I don't remember who reported it, but I read this morning there was a fear that Trevor Siemian has the same AC joint issue he had last year, which I believe cost him 2 games. And if that's the case, that means Brock Osweiler will be the starting quarterback in Denver.
But didn't the whole team get hurt? Like
Emmanuel Sanders got carted off.
Demaryius Thomas got hurt. He came back. Emmanuel Sanders hurt his ankle. He was carted off.
They said
off.
X-rays were negative.
That's the same thing happened to Isaiah McKenzie with his
ankle.
Be
worried, Scott. Seahawks next week. It's contagious.
Are you concerned if you're a C.J. Anderson fan? Like, you know, the possibility of Devontae Booker just lurking back there?
Well, Booker had 1 carry yesterday for 2 yards. Did catch 4 passes for 78, including a 29-yard reception. 6 targets on the day for Devontae Booker. I'll throw that question over to Jake.
I'm not that worried. He's still the backup. I just think there's some usage. Like, everything went out the window from this game from the first quarter. It's just this is not what anybody expected from the Broncos side of things, from the Giants side of things. I think the usage is just the bigger concern is C.J. Anderson only had to deal with Jamal Charles. Now you have a few more snaps taken away.
Yeah, I don't think he's rushed for like 50 yards in like three straight games.
That's an issue.
Yeah.
That's an issue with your starting
The Dallas Cowboys made him look fantastic.
That they did, and you called that they would. Demaryius finished with 10 for 133. Again, he returned from his injury. We'll see if he's limited in practice this week, but I think he'll be fine. We'll see what the MRI says on Emmanuel Sanders. Just because the x-ray says that he's fine doesn't mean that ultimately he will be fine. Tonight, Monday Night Football, the Indianapolis Colts, the Tennessee Titans, Marcus Mariota, still questionable. I know there are some signs he will play. I know, Matt, you need him to play, but I don't know that he will.
Yeah, we didn't put in Ben yesterday, so I guess in one league we do need him to play. But look, the Colts could be what, first-place team?
Colts I saw a report team. That he's going to play. So
We'll see. Yeah. I know he's 50-50.
The
I know
King has confirmed.
Just the report. We'll see if that's accurate. Jacoby Brissett as the quarterback for Indianapolis to try to get Dante Moncrief and certainly T.Y. Hilton involved. Last note here of the day. Rumors circulated after yesterday's Steelers game that Martavis Bryant had asked for a trade out of Pittsburgh. He came out on Twitter and says he loves being in Pittsburgh. There's nowhere else he'd rather be.
For my fantasy team, I'll gladly trade him if he honors his request.
Coming up next, Fantasy Football Frenzy. Matt Modico is here. Jake Steele is here. Filling in for Corey Parson, it's our friend Nando DeVito. For Matt Modica, for Jake Steele, and for the King, Scott Angle, my name is Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great one, everybody. And we'll see you then. Bye-bye.